Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. Hey, I hope you've been having a really good week. So I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, I released a podcast episode on the Becoming Limitless podcast. It was episode 114, and it was about controversial women's health things I had changed my mind on. And it was the second part of a controversial things I changed my mind on episode. And I got a lot of response on that episode specifically about just stories from clients, from Instagram community, from my own community of people reaching out and saying, yeah, I can't believe that my doctor didn't acknowledge when I said this, or my doctor tried to put me on medication for this, even though I said this. And how many of us are feeling like we aren't listened to, and that there is so little awareness and knowledge in women's health specifically, that we need to be very self-aware and take things into our own hands and make sure that our health is being taken care of. And that's why in this episode, like, it's going to be a little bit more of my thoughts on what we can do to advocate for our health. And I don't just mean like, you know, think maybe I should do something, but how to like fiercely advocate for your health. And we're going to do some body talk today, because over the last, oh gosh, what's it been, like 4.5 years now, our family has become crunchy. And this is a term I actually learned from one of my Instagram community members. But crunchy basically means like you are leaning towards the holistic, the natural, the not wanting to turn to traditional Western medicine and, you know, all the drugs and the antibiotics and all of that stuff as the first line in defense in dealing with our health, right? And so if you've been following me for a while, you've probably gotten that idea, especially if, you know, if you listened to that episode on women's health, or you listened to the episode I did on pregnancy and labor hacks, right? Some of the things that I found when I really started researching into like hospitals and practices and procedures and all of that kind of stuff. And this podcast here is not, it's not meant to be medical advice, obviously. I know I need to say that off the beginning of the episode, but I'm hoping that it gives you a little bit of inspiration and encouragement to advocate for yourself, because you know in your body when something isn't right. I know that feeling, you know that feeling, but when we go to talk to professionals about it, we're either shut down or we're given some frou-frou answer or offered a medication and sent out the door. And I just want to, I want to not only talk about this today, but I want to share a story with you about something that I have been going through almost for the last 9 months now. And the stand that I have had to repeatedly take for myself over and over again to get my health taken care of. And I think it's important, because our health is the most important thing, because without our health, we can't be good entrepreneurs, because we are sick or tired or needing to take extended amounts of time off to heal, right? And we can't be good parents, and we can't be good partners. Like, we need our health. Like, I want to go through my life and I want to have the best life I can. I want to be able to go hiking. I want to be able to travel until the very end of my days. Like, I don't want to be slowed down by illness. I don't want to end up on a whole bunch of prescriptions that are all dealing with the side effects of a different prescription I was put on. Like, I really think that we need to talk about this. And if this episode, if you love this, you're really going to love episode 25 that I did. It's called Why I Annoy My Doctor. And it is the story of how I self-diagnosed myself with 2 blood clots in my right lower leg, and nobody would take me seriously. And if it wasn't for me advocating for my own health, I might not be here today. And so I really just wanted to do this episode to share a new story and to encourage you, right? And like, our medical systems, I live in Canada, and I imagine like throughout North America, things aren't that different, but we are heading toward a system of illness. Like, I think I heard somebody the other day say it's not a healthcare system, it's a death care system. It's really just preventing you from dying, but it is nothing about health at all, right? There is even a political party here in Canada, and one of the things they're running on in their platform is like, hey, we're going to pay for your prescriptions. Like, to me, there are certain prescriptions that, yes, should be covered. Things for like type 1 diabetes, things that you are born with. But paying for prescriptions just encourages prescription writing, prescription taking, and illness. Like, we like to see prescriptions as like, oh, that'll fix my problem, not really recognizing the downstream effects of how that affects the health of our body. And also the symptoms that it creates that we now have to find another medication to cure, right? And I'm not against medication. I always think that there is a smart use and time for it, but the amount of situations I'm hearing of and seeing where people are being put preventatively on medications is absolutely wild to me. Like, I genuinely believe our bodies were designed to heal, like to help ourselves. And yes, Western medicine has helped with a lot of things and there are a lot of great drugs, but I just don't think that the way that our medical care system as a whole is really looking at our health. They're just like, how can we prevent them from dying, right? And so paying for prescriptions, in my opinion, is absolutely ridiculous because we are supporting illness. Why are we not allocating funds to a community, like, you know, credits to a community center, a gym membership, access to healthy food that is affordable? Like, there are so many ways we can support our health without just paying for illness, right? And I think a lot of it, like, it's not always to do with doctors that are uneducated or not doing their job. There are a lot of wonderful doctors out of there, but I think that the way the system is set up is not supporting them. Like, you get a doctor's appointment time that is 10 minutes, and 10 minutes is not enough to really dig in on what is going on. Like, in my opinion, if a doctor tries to give me a prescription or a medication without asking me, how am I sleeping? What is my stress like? What type of products am I using? How am I eating on a daily basis? What am I eating? What time am I eating? Am I eating enough? Are you moving your body and exercising? Do you have a support system in place? Now, you can see the problem. You can't have a conversation like that in 10 minutes. It takes a much longer time. But that is the time that, you know, we are allocated as patients to spit out our problems. And I honestly find like I'm being interrupted half of the time. And the questions I ask are, when I ask rebuttal questions, like, well, how did you come to that? Have you considered testing for this? Well, what are the side effects of this if we do this? When I ask questions like that, I often sometimes feel like I'm getting a pat on the head response of like, oh, that doesn't ever happen. That just happens in a small percentage of situations. But it happens, like there are side effects that happen to some people. And if we are putting ourselves on drugs unnecessarily that are altering our bodies, we are going to be developing further problems, right? And so I'm just like, if we're not talking about lifestyle and how so much of the illness that we have can be fixed with really good sleep, with eating whole real foods on a consistent schedule, moving our body, not like this crazy exercise plan. I'm just talking about going for a walk, you know, regular walks, moving our body. How many illnesses would be helped with that? And where is the support and the counseling and the coaching on what it means to implement those habits and means to be consistent? And that is so much of the reason that I run my Becoming Limitless program. It's because the support is not needed in writing in a prescription. The support is needed for those of us that want lifestyle to be what keeps us healthy, right? Not a medical system that is just preventing us from dying. I want to be my healthiest, right? And so that's always why I love seeing all these holistic practitioners that look at the psychology behind things, the why we're not doing things, the why things are hard, the implementation of it, right? Because you can listen to things like this podcast, you can go on YouTube and Instagram, and you will get all of the how, right? But it's the implementation that is hard. And I feel like that should be the kind of support that is offered if we're really going to look at healthcare system as a whole, right? And so I wanted to share a little bit of a personal story, actually, of what has been going on in my life and how I have fiercely advocated for my health. And I want to kind of show you an example of what it looks like to say no thank you to things that don't feel aligned and the type of questions that I like to ask, right? So if you don't want to hear about hormones and periods and stuff like that, this is a great place to turn off the podcast. But otherwise, we're going to be diving into this because I think, like I said, women's health is sorely, it's not taken care of the way, there's no education on it. Like, all the research is done on men who have the same 24-hour hormone cycle every single day, and they have different bodies than women do. And there's no research being done, or it's just in its infancy. And so a lot of recommendations that are made with fitness and health and all of that kind of stuff come from a male-dominated perspective. And I think just now, women are starting to notice, like, huh, my body does so much more than just like grind it out, have a period, grind it out, have a period. Like, there are these ebbs and flows, and learning how beautiful that is, and that our body was designed to do that. And a period is a sign of a healthy reproductive system. And this is actually exactly why I started having alarm bells go off last July, right? We're in April now. Last July, I started getting like this weird mid-cycle cramping. Like, we're like 2 weeks into our period here. Why do I have this cramping? It would be just down one side. And then I would get these cycles and these periods that would be 6 or 7 days long and very heavy. And it was very abnormal for me. And this cramping was weird. And then after one of my cycles, I ended up having spotting 2 weeks later. And this was super not normal for me. And I was like, huh, we need to do something about this. We need to go get this checked out. Because when I learned, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, right when I was, right when I had first become a mom, and I was learning about hormones and cycles and balancing them, everything like that, that I had received this perspective on getting a monthly cycle that I will never forget. And it was that your reproductive system is always the first thing to be affected, or one of the first things to be affected, when something is not going well. So like all through when I was in university, we often studied this thing called the female athlete triad syndrome. And it is when athletes, female athletes, lose their menstrual cycles to a couple of things. It's usually an overtraining, an undereating thing. And when our body does not have enough energy, it starts pulling it from different places in the body. And one of the first non-essential places it pulls from is the reproductive system, right? Because if our body is low on energy, we're kind of in a fight or flight. Our body's in survival mode. We don't need to be worried about repopulating. We need to worry about keeping alive. So it's actually the reproductive cycle, your period, your ovulation, all of this, that is a sign that something is stressing on the body. And so it's likened to that example of a canary in a coal mine. So they used to, working in coal mines, used to bring a small canary in there. And if the canary would die, it would mean that the gases were getting too toxic in these caves. And so they took it as a sign of is like, oh, well, that bird is smaller. It affects that bird a lot faster, all these toxic fumes. So if the bird has died, we better get out of here before it affects us, right? So I look at my cycle the same way. If something has gone wrong with my cycle, it is a red flag for me that something is off in my body. And this is, if you listened to episode 114 of my podcast, where I talked about controversial women's health things, I went on probably like a 30-minute discussion / rant on birth control, especially hormonal-based birth controls that you skip your period or you never get a cycle, right? Because you now lose that ability to tell what is going on with your body, and you could miss something. And so this is kind of leading into what I want to talk about today. So I went into my doctors and I was like, hey, I have a weird cramping, I have heavy bleeding, and I was also spotted 2 weeks later, something is off. And you know what my doctor said to me? He's like, you know, you're probably fine. It's just been one cycle. Like, they give you that whole, like, if it's another cycle, you can come back. And I said, no, this is highly abnormal for me. My cycles are all exactly 29 days. I know my body, something is up. And so I asked for an ultrasound, and they sent me for an ultrasound. And again, this is why you need to know your body so well and be in tune with it and be aware of your health so that you can notice and catch things earlier, right? Because like I said, the period is always the first thing to be affected or first thing to go. And just that's why I actually elected 3 years ago to come off of birth control, because of how it actually affects your hormones. Like, there's reasons for it. I discussed it in episode 114, but that was a personal choice for me. So in early September of last year, I went and got this ultrasound, and the results came back that it was a small polyp, an endometrial, or it was a uterine polyp. And the doctor was like, you know, it's probably nothing. You happened to get the ultrasound on the first day of your period. It was probably just a lump that was caused by leftover blood, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I want a second ultrasound to confirm. And they're like, oh, that's funny. It is a polyp. right? He's asking for it again instead of letting the doctor tell me it was probably nothing. And the doctor had said to me, you know, there's a 1% chance that these can be cancerous, these uterine polyps. So we want you to have it biopsied. And I was like, oh, well, that's not fun. Like, nobody ever likes to hear that kind of news, right? And he did assure me and say, you know, you're only 35 years old. In women your age, at a healthy weight, it's usually not cancerous, but I always want to check, right? And so I was like, all right, fine. So he referred me to a gynecologist, and I had to wait because, you know, you wait for 4 to 6 months to get these kind of appointments, which is another thing I think is absolutely ridiculous, is that you have to wait so long to get these appointments, especially when you could be dealing with things that are potentially cancerous or potentially progressive, right? So I waited for this appointment. And in the meantime, I was like, okay, it's September. I have to wait till January. I've got like 4 or 5 months. So I can either sit here and just let my life pass by, hope everything is fine, because I wouldn't even get the biopsy until January. I can just, you know, hope things are going to be okay. But that's not me. I have become way too invested in my health to stand, be a bystander. And so what I did, and I've actually shared this process with a couple of clients. Now, again, not medical advice. I'm not a doctor. However, I also know that I am the person more invested in my health than anyone else. So I should care about my health more than anyone else. So what did I do? I sat down and I was like, okay, we're going to figure out what causes these uterine polyps. And I went online and read some research papers, kind of looked over a bunch of sources and recognized, okay, it's just an imbalance of my two hormones, estrogen and progesterone. That's it. It's just an imbalance. Now, what I didn't know was, is it because estrogen is too high relative to progesterone, or is estrogen fine and it's progesterone that is too low? Okay, so either way, I know I need to work on things that keep my estrogen low and build up my progesterone. This I can figure out. So I went to work and I had a spreadsheet on my computer, and it was laid out with like, what are all of the things that can cause progesterone to drop, right? And big ones were things that created stress in the body, lack of vitamin B6. Like, I came up with all of these answers. The other answer was, what could cause estrogen to be too high? And I came up with a whole list of things, right? Like an exhaustive list of things. And if you've been following me on Instagram over the year, you've probably been noticing a bit more of my content leaning towards female health. Like, how cortisol can screw up with progesterone and make your PMS symptoms much worse, right? Like, or it can cause endometriosis, or it can cause PCOS. Like, there are so many things that are wrapped into this. And so that's where a lot of my content has been going on that. So the first thing I started looking at is like, well, how can I make sure that I am not creating excessive estrogen? And I would write it down. And big ones that I came up with, to be honest, It was really overwhelming, because when you start coming up a list and seeing all the things that you could be doing better on, there's a part of you that's like, why was I not doing this in the first place? So I really had to make sure that I was coaching myself and reminding myself, like, no, you're human. You're doing the best you can. You're a mom, you're a business owner. You are taking care of your health. This is just that next level that you need to go to. And so with my friend, I talked a little bit with my friend Susie. I've talked about her before. She's got an Instagram account called Low Tox Canadian, and her page is full of low tox products. Because if you didn't notice, there are chemicals in many of our products, from our body lotions to our shampoos to our makeup, that actually encourage excess estrogen production. Isn't that wild? And it's in so many of our products. And like, even things like plastic, like if you are like microwaving or putting plastic in the dishwasher, like all of these things, like a lot of these I knew. I had been using metal water bottles and glass containers and stuff like that, but there are so many things that are contributing to the toxin level in our body. And so I swapped out our shampoo for all natural shampoo. And like I was saying, on my friend Susie's page, I'll link her in the description, her Instagram account, but she does little posts with natural swaps for everything from toothpaste, deodorant, shampoo, lotion. Like, she's such a trusted source that I can go to. She reads labels extensively. She's a crunchy mom like me with twins, and she's pregnant. She's awesome. You have to go check her account out. But I swapped out my shampoo. I swapped out my conditioner. I swapped out my lotion. I realized I had a plastic tea kettle that I was boiling water in. I was like, what is this? So I actually took that, got rid of it, got a glass kettle. I stopped using scented products completely. This means all of my scented lotions were gone. I had already gotten rid of scented candles a long time ago and diffuser oils and stuff like that. But I went for a totally all natural environment, natural deodorant, all of that kind of stuff, and really began being ruthless about eliminating toxins. Some other things I did was I stopped using tea bags, and I now use only loose leaf organic tea in a stainless steel tea ball so that I'm not getting the microplastics from the tea bags. I went off coffee, which I talked about at the beginning of last episode. The goal originally was just to not drink coffee on an empty stomach, because coffee on an empty stomach spikes cortisol, right? And cortisol, when it's high, can decrease progesterone. And so progesterone is one of the hormones that is responsible for a regular cycle. And so I went on this big journey, and like, I figured out, I'm like, okay, well, what else can, that's what affects estrogen, what affects progesterone? And I made a big list about that. And the big thing that kept coming up was like, if my progesterone is too low, stress is one of those things that can lower it. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to cut down on cold showers for now, because those stress the body. I was doing sound baths. I was doing a lot more yoga. I was spending time by myself, like solo nights. Like I said, no coffee on an empty stomach. And now I actually don't drink coffee anymore. Like, I weaned myself off of it while I was in Panama. I went from getting great sleep to excellent sleep, like really focused on this. With my food, I went no sugar, no flour. I started seed cycling. And seed cycling is actually something I learned about in a book by Elisa Vitti. And it's called In the Flow. And she talks about seed cycling there to help deal with excess estrogen and all of that kind of stuff. It was really, really a fascinating book. Making sure my supplementation was on point. But this is the level of dedication I have to my health, right? Is I was willing to go to work and explore how I could help myself. Hey, quick interruption. Have you ever wondered how to supercharge your mornings and have sustainable energy all throughout the day in your business? Well, dive into my playbook with 12 biohacks designed for entrepreneurs like you. You can boost your energy, sharpen your focus, and transform your productivity in your business with my free guide, 12 Ways to Biohack Your Energy. You can maximize your day starting right now. The link to grab it is in the show notes. And over this time, I stopped spotting mid-cycle. And about a couple months after implementing a lot of this, I stopped getting cramping. And I was still getting some of the heavy bleeding. And I was like, this is interesting. I am feeling so much better off of doing this stuff already. My symptoms have alleviated. I'm curious to hear what the results are. So anyways, January comes. I had the appointment with the gynecologist. We did the biopsy. I had it done in the office. And, you know, afterwards I was asking him, I was like, you know, I'm curious because I wanted to hear what he thought. I was like, what causes polyps? And he said, oh, it's a hormone thing with women and it has to do with the ratio of estrogen to progesterone. And I'm like, cool, got it. That makes sense because I researched that. And I said, well, here are the things I've done. I've really focused on sleep and I've really focused on diet and stress, and my symptoms have nearly gone away. I mean, there's no spotting, there's no cramping. And he said to me, like, hear this. He said to me, oh, diet and stress wouldn't have an impact on this. They don't affect hormones like that. What? Diet and stress don't affect hormones? And in the same breath, he then said, you are a healthy weight, and so I'm not worried about it. But it's crazy because if you think about healthy weight, doesn't that also have to do with what we eat? How we move, our stress levels, all of this? Like, I was just fascinated that he said that stress and diet don't have an impact. And this is a gynecologist who's been in practice 40 years. And I thought it was wild. I was literally like, huh? And then so his response to that was, well, here's the plan. We just did the biopsy. I think I want you to go back on birth control because it prevents the lining of your uterus from building up every month, and that could be what's leading to this polyp. I said, I have a horrible history with birth control. I had blood clots. I'm not allowed to be on an estrogen-based birth control because they increase your risk of cardiovascular disease and blood clots. And the progesterone-based birth control that I was on gave me miserable anxiety. And this was confirmed. I actually looked at a research study that showed it was something like 30 to 35% of women who go on a progesterone only based birth control experience severe anxiety or depression. I was one of those. Like, I've told this story before, but I have been treated at the hospital as an outpatient in 2015 for just debilitating anxiety. I didn't want to leave the house. I was like panic attacks. Like, I would faint. I'd get such intense anxiety and panic attacks, like in public places. If I had to go get my blood taken, even I'd have to have two nurses holding me down because I was just like, I was a mess. I was anxious all the time. Like, if you've ever been someone that's dealt with anxiety, like, I feel you. I have been there. And I noticed that when I came off of this birth control to get pregnant with my first daughter, it went away. But I was like, that had to be pregnancy related. So I went back on and I got incredibly anxious again. And so when I came off, when I got pregnant with our second daughter, I have not gone back on since. And my anxiety has not returned. Like, there are days where I'm like, wow, I haven't been anxious in so long. And it used to be the thing that defined me and who I was and how I operated in my life. And so I was saying to him, like, I've got a horrible history with birth control. It's just a no. And he's like, well, you could go on just a low dose one preventatively, or just like, we could just do progesterone. And I'm like, okay, hold on. I just told you that I get incredible anxiety when I was on it. Also, did we not hear, my symptoms are gone. And we just did the biopsy. Wouldn't it make sense to get another ultrasound and see the results of the biopsy? Like, is the polyp still there? Is it worse? Did it get better? Is it gone? Like, wouldn't it be better to see the results of the biopsy and see if this is actually a problem beyond a one-off occurrence? Because I have fixed my symptoms and changed so many lifestyle things, wouldn't that make sense to do that before just adding in a medication that I'm telling you creates anxiety for me? And I'm no joke. He offered to put me on some progesterone-based birth control. I counted 6 times and I had to say no 6 times. My husband was there in the office. We were like, what is going on? And this might be an extreme example, but there was a lot of like that attitude of like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, it's not that bad. Like, that probably was a one-off experience. Like, just minimizing the experience. I don't know if you've had that before where you get this experience of like, here's the facts. What do you think about getting a test to see if this is warranted? Like, you ain't putting me on any medication without a test that says that I need it, period. Because I want to know that what I'm putting in my body actually needs to be there, right? And I was like, he asked me nothing about lifestyle. He asked me nothing about stress or food or, you know, if I'm having a hard time or like what is going on with my hormones, nothing. And so with that all said, I went and left for our trip to Panama, right? Which, my gosh, they only said, we did your biopsy. We'll only call you if there is something to call you about, like if it is, you know, cancerous. Otherwise, we won't call you, right? And I was into my trip 3.5 weeks and I got a missed call from his office. I almost like, you ever had that experience where you get like a full body heat flush and you're just like, oh my God. Bad news, like full, I thought I was going to throw up. I started crying and I saw the missed call and I was like, it's okay. We're doing long distance call from Panama. We're calling back. And I called the office back and they're like, oh, we're just scheduling your follow-up appointment. I was like, don't do that. So anyways, I ended up getting the doctor on the phone that day and he told me that everything was benign. Yay. I didn't have to worry about it. It wasn't cancerous, which was fantastic. But I was scheduled to do a follow-up ultrasound and blood work when I got back and then just one last follow-up appointment. And so crazy thing is I went and got that ultrasound done and blood tests came back normal. I walk into the office and he's like, this is, your polyp is gone. I was like, ugh. Like, and I'm not saying that I like found the cure to polyps. I genuinely am not saying that. But what I'm saying is that by making changes to the way I ate, more sleep, eliminating crap products, and actively lowering my stress on purpose, I was able to eliminate all of my symptoms and my polyp. And it was so crazy. I was telling him, I'm like, yeah, my periods are now, they're 3 days. They're light. I don't have cramping. All my symptoms are gone. The polyp is gone. This is fantastic. Like, I was like, cool. And it was such a good reassuring feeling to know that the stuff that I do works, you know, like it's food, it's lifestyle, like we can heal ourselves. And I'm not saying everything is healable with food and exercise and sleep, but like this was. I was so damn proud of myself and not letting myself be pushed into being put on something preventatively, because if he'd have put me on that progesterone at that last appointment, it would have been for nothing. I'm symptom free. I have no polyp anymore. Things are great. It would have been medicating my body for no reason at all. Like, how often is this happening in our medical care system? Because people don't know they can say no. They don't know that they can ask questions. And here's the wild part. You're not even going to believe this. So in that appointment where I was like, yeah, 3-day periods, polyps gone, no cramping, like everything's great, like awesome. And he sits down, my husband and I are there, and he's like, so what are you doing for birth control now? And I was like, well, cycle awareness and condoms. And he's like, oh, so let's actually talk about getting you on a birth control pill right now so that we can prevent polyps in the future. And I was literally like, did you hear nothing? There's nothing wrong with me. He's like, yeah, well, it'll help with lighter periods. I'm like, I just told you I have 3-day periods. Like, why are we doing this? Ridiculous. I said, no, thank you. Literally, clearly, no, thank you. And then he goes, well, what do you think about if you don't like the pill, like a low hormone IUD? I was like, no, thank you. I'm like, I left that office. I looked at my husband. I said, I seriously wonder if he gets paid to push that crap. Like, how are you so insistent when somebody says, I have no symptoms, there is no polyp, I have a history of being on that medication that is not good, and still trying to convince me to go on it? Did you hear nothing? You don't ask about my lifestyle. Ugh. So my message for you, don't feel pushed into doing anything that feels off. Get a second opinion. Go to someone else. Do a little bit of research. And I'm not saying that Google is the equivalent of a doctor, but I'm saying that we are intelligent and we can figure out what questions we should be asking. And if not, go to someone that you trust or that is a little bit crunchy or that leans towards more of that confrontational person with medical. I've got an old client at all the time. We go off about, like, do you know what my doctor said to me the other day? Do you know what my doctor said to me the other day? Like, it's at the point where we don't even go anymore unless it is for something like this. That is like an obvious something that we need to look into. But never feel like you have to make a decision in the office that day. You can say, I'll think about it. You can reach out to friends or people you know. And just like this, what questions should I be asking? That is the best thing. And honestly, when we were making a lot of the decisions about the care for our kids, the medical care for our kids, we did a lot of work on Google, just not asking Google for the answers, but asking Google what type of questions our doctors should be able to answer if they are pushing this particular route, this particular set of medications, whatever it might be. And the crazy thing is when you start to ask these questions, you'll notice the doctors that are educated and know what they're talking about and feel comfortable having this conversation with you, and the ones that shut you down because they actually don't know the answer, or they'll minimize it because they don't know the answer. And this is not, I don't generally don't think that doctors are bad people. I don't think that they have ill intent. I had a client and she was a physician, and she used to say to me, you know, we got 3 weeks in nutrition in school and everyone skipped it because they knew about food and they really needed a break because med school was so intense, right? Like, I just don't think it's possible to stay fully up to date on all the research. So I think it is on the onus on us to fiercely advocate for our own health, to talk about our bodies, to feel no shame in saying what's going on, what's happening. I don't want to do that. What is that? What test are you basing this on? Advocate for yourself. Nobody is going to care more about you than you. If something feels off, it probably is. Go investigate it. Don't let someone tell you no. Keep getting a second opinion. Because if you were like me with the 2 blood clots when they kept telling me it was nerve pain, I'm like, no, I've got blood clots. This is everything symptomatic of a blood clot. Test me for it. I could have been dead. And now I get to have a family and a full life with 2 little girls, right? That was back in 2014. And so, yes, this episode was a little ranty, but I feel like it really needed to happen because there are so many women reaching out to me right now saying, doctor's not listening to me. They don't know about this. They tried to get me on something that would eliminate my period altogether. All kinds of things. Like, first, first resort when I'm feeling down is a sleeping pill or an antidepressant. And I'm not saying those are terrible, but I'm saying go through the same process. What are we basing this on? Have you tried lifestyle stuff? What are the symptoms and side effects that come with those things? What will I do if those symptoms and side effects come up? Can I handle it? Do I have a support system? What if it doesn't work? So many questions. I just want you to feel empowered asking. So I would love to hear. Can you reach out to me on Instagram? Is this resonating? Have you had this experience? Do you feel infuriated by like mainstream doctors? Have you tried doing naturopaths or alternative doctors? And if you are seeking out a doctor and they do not ask you about your lifestyle or anything else before trying to put you on a medication, get a second opinion. Get a second opinion. It is your life and you are valuable and you are worth this extra effort. I promise you this. So I hope this has been a really helpful episode. If it has been, can you share it with someone who you think it would really impact and it would resonate with? I would really appreciate that. And don't forget, if you find this like helpful, leave a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube right now, subscribe, hit like, leave a comment. I would love to really hear the stories of those of you in my community. This podcast has been such a wonderful way to allow me to connect with you and for also to make it, you know, create a community that is around holistic health and all for the purpose of not only feeling the best in our life, but for being great parents, for being great partners, for being great for ourselves and for running really, really badass businesses. I hope you have a great week. I'll see you next time. Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met, you are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.